I believe the Lord has a word for us, a timely word, and I'm going to just jump right in since we already prayed and just share a fun story. There's a point to the story, but just a fun story to begin tonight. A little boy was trying to sell a used lawnmower, and a preacher walked by. The preacher was interested in the lawnmower, but he wanted to make sure that it would work first, and so he started pulling the cord trying to start the mower, and it just seemed like it wasn't going to start. And the little boy spoke up and he said, "Sir, you got to kick it a little bit and cuss at it." And the preacher said, "Son, I'm a pastor and I don't cuss." The little boy said, "Well, you just keep pulling that cord for a while, it'll come to you." So tonight, I'm going to talk to you about overcoming anger. And before we really jump into that, I just want to remind you of what Jesus said in John 8, 31 and 32. He says, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you," "if you abide in my word," I'll get it right. "If you abide in my word," he said, "you are my disciples indeed. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." He said, if you stay in my word. I want to challenge you just from the beginning of this message tonight that the word of God is where truth comes from. And when we really know that truth, when we get it down in our heart, then it makes us free. And I believe that there's a lot of people that need to get free in this area of their life and overcome anger. There is such a spirit of anger that is at work in our world. I mean, you just see it everywhere. And it's not just limited to the lost. It's not just limited to people who don't know God or maybe who worship some false god. No, there's so much anger, even in the body of Christ. And I'm just telling you, this is something that we need to get victory over, get free from, amen, and be able to say that, you know what, we've overcome. See, God doesn't want us to live that way. You know what? Living angry is no fun. That's just, I can't think of the right word except icky. You know what I mean? I mean, it's oh, there's another one, yucky. Preacher's pulling out the big words tonight. But I really believe God wants us to get victory. You see, Satan uses that anger to divide. He uses it to stir up hate. And he uses it to destroy people's lives. Seen any destroyed lives? I'm telling you, it's all around us how the enemy is using anger to destroy. Jesus said in John 10:10 that he came to give us life and that we might have it more abundantly. Now, I really believe Jesus wants us to have an abundant kind of life, a life that's overflowing with life. But he also said in that same verse that the thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And so we need to realize that Satan is always working against us, always trying to keep us from the life that Jesus has for us. He wants to steal, kill, and destroy. We have an enemy. And he wants to steal the blessings of God from us. He wants to kill our hopes and dreams. He wants to destroy the call and the purpose of God in your life. And one of the ways that he does that is by using anger. We need to be aware of the devil's schemes, of his tactics and his devices. Don't be duped by the devil. Don't be caught off guard. 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, walks around as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Here's what Peter says. In the NIV, it's this way. Be self-controlled, be alert. Be self-controlled, be alert. Why? Because you have an adversary, the devil, who is trying to destroy people's lives. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Now, be self-controlled and be alert. This is not throw caution to the wind. This is not la-la land, you know. Let's just, you know, we don't have to think about that. No, we need to be self-controlled and alert. Be sober, be vigilant. In other words, we're always aware that we have an enemy. You need to realize that there is one who is always out to try to get an advantage of you, to try to steal from you, to try to destroy. And too often, I'm telling you, he robs believers because they're not ready and they're not self-controlled. We're in a spiritual battle, and the enemy of our souls, he's looking for a way to get an advantage of us. So we're going to go to Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to begin with verses 29 through 32 and just kind of lay a foundation here, but it's really important. And I just be candid with you. I have preached these verses so much in the last few years, but it is because there is a stronghold that needs to be torn down. And so, you know what? We can't fix the world tonight, but we can fix our heart. And if we'll just let the Word of God have its way in us, I'm telling you, it'll set you free. He says, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. That's a pretty tall order. If we'd just do that, it would solve a lot of things. He says, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. He tells us very plainly we got to get rid of the bitterness, the anger, the wrath, the malice, the evil speaking. And he ends it talking about forgiveness, because so much of that finds its root in unforgiveness. Sometimes it might be something that happened a long time ago when there's unforgiveness, but a lot of the time it's things that happened recently and there's just this anger over wrongs that have been done. But there's so much of it in our society, it's epidemic. And listen to me, it is contagious. When you're around angry people and you hear evil speaking, you need to realize that that can get on you. Proverbs 22 and 24 says, make no friendship with an angry man. With a furious man, do not go. Now, how many of you believe the Word of God? I just want to get you on board tonight because I got a lot of scripture. And if you believe the Word of God, I'm telling you, it will change you. Here's what the Bible says. Don't hang out with an angry man. Now, somebody's saying, well, I live with one. What am I going to do? Well, you know what? You can pick some other friends and you can hang out with some other people when you can. But here's the point, though. When you have a choice, you don't hang out with an angry man. You don't make friends with an angry man. You love them, you pray for them, you know, share Jesus with them. But you don't make them your friend. Now, that's what the Bible says. Anybody still believe the Bible? Okay, praise the Lord. We didn't get as many that time, but there's still some of us. Amen. We believe the Bible. But one of the quickest and most common ways we can give away our victory, I'm telling you, it is when we have uncontrolled anger in our lives. We got to learn to handle it right. Just a few verses earlier in Ephesians 4, 26 and 27, he says, be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. See, when we don't handle anger right, when we lose our temper, it gives the devil an opportunity. He says, don't give place to the devil. How do you do that? When you're angry, you don't sin. Now, some people say, oh, it says to be angry. We're supposed to be angry. That's not what it's saying. It's saying that when you are angry, you got to overcome. You got to control that anger. You don't allow that anger to cause you to sin. And then he takes it a step further and he says, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. In other words, you're going to deal with that anger. You're not going to allow it to just go on. And I'm telling you, that's exactly what's going on with a lot of people. They've got anger, and they just let it build and let it grow and let it build and let it grow until it just comes busting out on somebody. And the devil gets his way. And at the very least, somebody's witness is destroyed. You can't talk to somebody about Jesus after you blew up on them. But anger destroys relationships. It binds us up. It keeps us from having peace. And when anger gets in, you know what? We end up saying things we shouldn't say. We say hurtful things. You notice in this passage of Scripture already, it's mentioned twice. Don't let anything corrupt come out of your mouth, but only that which is good to the use of edifying. And then it said, put away evil speaking. So often when we get angry, that's where it shows up, is the words of our mouth. We just in a moment, we can say things that can do damage to our relationships and hurt people. And sometimes it can take years to undo those things that were said. And some of them are never forgotten. I mean, I can tell you, I won't, but I can tell you things that I have forgiven 30 years ago, but I can still tell you verbatim, word for word, what was said to me. And we all know that. We all know how much words have power. That's what the Bible says. The power of life and death are in the tongue. And so when we get angry, one of the worst things we can do is allow ourselves to respond with angry words. It can destroy a marriage. It can destroy a relationship between a parent and child. It can get you fired. It can just happen in just a moment. But when we're angry, sometimes we do things we shouldn't do. We maybe do things. Anybody ever done something when you were angry that you wouldn't have done when you weren't angry? Okay. Yeah. Because you see, it is almost like you can be drunk with anger. Well, you wouldn't normally do that, but it just kind of, you know, if you allow it to, it'll just kind of take you over. Well, you're saying things, you're doing things. Back when I was a youth pastor, kids used to tell me, you know, yeah, my mom got mad at my dad the other night, and she started at one end of the dresser and swept everything off the dresser into the floor. So I used to tell the parents, you know, hey, I won't believe what they tell me about you if you won't believe what they tell you about me. Did I get that right? But I'm just telling you that people do things when they're angry they wouldn't normally do. And so somehow we can just lose it. And that's why we got to overcome anger. Now, if you've ever blown it, well, join the club. I'm so glad God is merciful. He is the God of another chance. But just realize that sometimes that it will cost you. Sometimes there will be consequences for uncontrolled anger. And we can overcome it. I want to say that very clearly. You know, I live with somebody that gets angry, but I don't ever see her lose control. She always keeps it under control and overcomes it. And you know what? That just tells me there's hope for me, all right? But some of us, we just kind of accept that, well, you know, it runs in my family. And some of us just say, well, that's just the way I am. Well, the truth is it runs in all of our family. It's part of the human race. It's part of the sinful nature for that anger to be uncontrolled. Sometimes people say, well, you know, they just push my buttons. So tonight, I want to challenge you. See, if you got buttons that when pushed make you lose your temper, you need to reprogram some buttons. I mean, you know what you're really saying? If somebody else has control over me, if they punch my buttons, it's what I do. You need to take control of your own self. Remember what he said? Be vigilant, be sober. The NIV said be self-controlled. You need to be self-controlled where nobody else can punch your buttons. And that is exactly where a lot of people are with anger, whether it's a family member or a stranger. Somebody punches their buttons and they lose control. Here's a great way to get those buttons reprogrammed. Instead of getting all mad and saying something stupid, pray. Just make up your mind. When they punch my buttons, I'm going to pray. That means it's time to pray. Okay. Somebody's going to get a hold of that. But too often, I think believers feel justified in their anger. We just need to remember this. It is never a justification for doing wrong. See, he says, be angry and don't sin. And that's exactly what happens if anger is not controlled. It will cause you to sin. You'll say something you shouldn't have said. You'll do something you shouldn't have done. Two wrongs don't make a right. So they wronged you. Somebody did something, made you mad. And now you're going to do something wrong. And you feel justified. You are not. The Bible says very plainly, be angry and sin not. So when we see things that are unfair, or worse yet, we experience injustices personally. You know, anger is kind of a natural response. And you see these things in the Bible. You know, Moses experienced that when he was 40 years old and he saw one of his Hebrew brethren being beaten by an Egyptian. He killed the Egyptian and buried the body. But he spent 40 years on the backside of the desert as a result of that. It'll cost you. You see, it was pride. It was his own self-sufficiency instead of relying on God. And it was uncontrolled anger. And it cost him dearly. Another common trigger point for anger is growing frustration. You know, sometimes it's not just one big thing, but it's just a whole bunch of little things. And the anger just slowly builds and builds and builds. Moses also experienced that because after he led the children of Israel through the wilderness for almost 40 years, it's almost time to finally go into the promised land. And the people are complaining. They're blaming Moses because they need water. They're all always doing this. It wasn't a new thing. They had done it time and time again where they would blame Moses and accuse Moses. And so Moses is frustrated and he's angry. And the Lord tells Moses, speak to the rock and water will flow out. But because of his anger, his frustration with the people, he takes his staff and he hits the rock twice and the water flows out. But the Lord tells Moses, because you disobeyed me, you will not enter the promised land. I'm just telling you that sometimes, yes, God forgives, but there are real consequences when you lose it. That's why we got to overcome in this area so the enemy doesn't get an advantage of us and come in and steal, kill, and destroy. I mean, if you could just deal with this one issue with a lot of marriages. Because they said this, and then they said this, and it escalates because I'm angry, and now they're angry, and it just keeps going until it's too far. And there's no recovery. See, if we overcome anger, it changes everything. It takes that opportunity away from Satan. You need to see that this is an inroad that he uses all the time. Frustration sets in. Reminds me of when I was a little kid and I watched Popeye. Anybody else watch Popeye? I've had all I can stands and I can't stands no more. And see, I relate to that real well, because sometimes I can deal with the big things for a short time. But when something just, you know, or somebody just keeps on, keeps on, keeps on, the anger and the frustration just builds. I'm telling you, you got to deal with it right. You got to overcome it. Don't allow it to rob you. How sad for Moses that he didn't get to go in, but he disobeyed God. And see, there it is. It's one thing to get angry. It's something else to get angry and sin. You got to learn to control it. You got to learn to overcome it. It'll cost you if you don't. Another trigger for anger is hurt. And sometimes it's us, sometimes it's a loved one or somebody we care about. And you know what? That's just a natural response. But we want to jump in defense mode, or maybe even go on the offense. But we all have to deal with this, because we all get hurt. You know, sometimes there's just misunderstandings between people. They didn't mean it that way, or they didn't know it was going to affect you that way. Sometimes there's just miscommunication. And you know what? Sometimes it's just ugly, mean people. Amen? We all know some. We've all experienced that in our life. And it can make us really angry. And it gives us an opportunity to sin. Be angry and do not sin. Nor let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. It's amazing how Christians will try to justify uncontrolled anger and act like it's a righteous thing, but it's not. You know, Jesus got angry. And I know the example everybody likes to think of, and we'll talk about that one in a moment, but I want to read one to you from Mark chapter 3, verse 1 through 6. Jesus is our example, amen? It says, "And he entered the synagogue again, and a man that was there with a withered hand, so they watched him closely whether he would heal on the Sabbath so that they might accuse him. And he said to the man with a withered hand, 'Step forward.' Then he said to them, 'Is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do evil, to save life or to kill?' But they kept silent. And when he had looked around at them with anger, being grieved by the hardness of their hearts, he said to the man, 'Stretch out your hand.' And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored as whole as the other. Then the Pharisees went out immediately and plotted with the Herodians against him how they might destroy him." Jesus looked at them with anger. But get this, he didn't call down fire on them. He didn't curse them. He didn't smite them with blindness. Instead, what did he do? He healed the man. That's being angry and not sinning. Next time you get mad, well, heal somebody, okay, or do something good. How about that? What if instead of allowing them to control you and getting a rise out of you and a response out of you, what if you took control of your own life, self-controlled? Remember we read that? What if you took control and you said, "You know what? I'm going to let them push my button. I'm going to do what I need to do in this situation." You see, what so often happens is the devil uses that then to keep us from doing what we should have done. What if Jesus didn't heal this guy because he got mad at them and he engaged them instead of healing this guy? No, that's not Jesus. That's not the way he is. And see, Jesus is our example. And then there's the most famous story of Jesus getting angry is when he saw the money exchangers and people selling things in the temple. And the Bible says that he sat down and he made a whip. And then he got up and he overturned their tables and he drove them all out of the temple by himself. And I've heard so many Christians use that as a justification for them losing their temper and going off on people and their human anger. Jesus sat down and made a whip. This was premeditated. This was deliberate. This was controlled. He did not lose it. He knew what he was doing. He was righting a wrong, but it wasn't done in a fit of rage and losing his temper. And here's the thing. Yes, there are times when we need to right a wrong. There are times when we need to stand up for what's right and do what's just and fair. But we don't allow ourselves to sin when we do it. We don't lose control. No, we stay under control. We are deliberate and we do what we should do in that situation. Don't let anger rule you. We should be angered by injustice and hypocrisy in our world. But remember this, the anger of our flesh won't bring about good. James 1:20, the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. The wrath of man won't produce the righteousness of God. You can't right the wrongs in this world with the wrath of man. Two wrongs don't make a right. Now for me, I would like to think, I wish that all of my anger was godly anger. But I know that's not really true. Here's the acid test, if you want to know. His anger is measured and it's intentional. Listen, if God lost his anger, we wouldn't be here. He doesn't. He's never lost his temper. His anger brings righteousness. It brings good. Ours stirs up strife. Ours hurts people unnecessarily. Ours makes our flesh feel good. Oh, I'm going to get you right here. You see, when your flesh is liking it, that's not God. I'm talking about when you're liking the fact that you're angry, I'm going to give them a piece of my mind, that's not God. And I don't care how self-righteous and all your indignation, I don't care. That's not God. Here's how I know that. Galatians 5:17 tells me that the Spirit works against the flesh, and the flesh works against the Spirit. They are contrary one with the other. They are not in agreement. And when your flesh is liking it, see, that's not your spirit. Your spirit is contrary with the flesh. The emotion of anger is not always sin, but if we don't control it, anger will control us, and then it is sin. So how do we deal with it? First, most of the time, it's better to just not get angry. 1 Corinthians 13:5 says, love is not provoked. The NIV says it's not easily angered. Just make up your mind. Say, I'm just not going to get mad. There's a lot of times it's just not worth it. Well, they said this. Well, get over it. Or you can get mad and you can blow it up and take it to the next level. No, a lot of the time, the wise thing, the spiritual thing to do is to overlook an offense, to forbear, to be long-suffering. I'm sharing the Bible, right? Y'all recognize these things, right? See, we don't allow petty disagreements to make us mad. Just make up your mind you're going to take the high road and be the spiritual person and you're not going to get mad. 1 Peter 4:8 says, above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. You just overlook it. Somebody does wrong, how about you just love them? Just refuse to take offense. Love is not easily angered. Second, when you do get angry, don't get angry quickly. Remember, it's self-control. James 1:19 and 20, we read it. My beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Be slow to wrath. Well, how can I do that? With the help of the Holy Spirit. We're going to talk about that in just a minute, but you need to get this. So a lot of the time, the best thing to do is just don't even get mad. Just make up your mind. You know what? I'm going to let that go. I'm going to walk in love. Love's not easily angered. I'm going to let that go. And then maybe it's something bigger and you're having a hard time with it. Don't get mad fast. What did he say? He said, slow to wrath. Slow down. Get yourself to just slow down. You know what I found a lot of the time? If I just slow down, I'll get over it. I mean, in the heat of the moment, I want to say something, I want to do something, but I've learned over the years, and Carmen and I, you know, we talk about these things and we encourage one another. I guess her mostly encouraging me, hey, why don't you just give it some time? You know what? A lot of the time, parents need to give it some time before they discipline their kid. You need to give it some time before you deal with that person that's rubbing you the wrong way. Sometimes, it says don't let the sun go down on your wrath, so you need to deal with it. But I'm just telling you, sometimes you sleep on it, you get up the next morning, and you're like, you know what, I'm going to say it this way instead of being angry. Verses. We believe the Bible, right? Here we go. Proverbs 16:32. He who is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit than he who takes a city. Now, in the world, they say, oh no, the mighty, he's the better one. The guy that can take the city. The guy that's got the power. I mean, the guy that can whip everybody. He's the mighty one. He's the top dog. But you know what? That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says he who's slow to anger is better, and he who rules his own spirit than he who takes a city. Do we still believe the Bible? So I'm telling you, this truth will set you free if you'll just keep accepting it, because it is all through here. Proverbs 19:11. The discretion of a man makes him slow to anger, and his glory is to overlook a transgression. There's that overlook it again, but the discretion of a man. When a man has wisdom, he's slow to anger. So here's what I'm saying, slow yourself down. If you can't do that, you're out of control. Just be honest with yourself. When you can't slow yourself down, you're already out of control. But time is on your side. If you can slow yourself down, you can overcome the anger and deal with it in a way that's right and appropriate. Proverbs 14:17, a quick-tempered man acts foolishly. See, if you don't slow down, you'll do something stupid. Proverbs 29:11, a fool vents all his feelings, but a wise man holds them back. I can't tell you how many times I've heard somebody post or heard somebody say or post on Facebook or whatever, well, I just tell it like it is. I just let everybody, nobody wonders how I feel about it. Well, that's stupid. A fool vents all his feelings, but a wise man holds them back. You don't just let your mouth blab out whatever. That's letting anger sin. No, you hold that back. You pray about it. Don't, you know, you want to do something slower, you know, but a lot of people say, counts 10. I don't know if that works, but I do know that prayer works. Stop and pray. Third, to overcome anger, we have to keep ourselves under the control of the Holy Spirit. Don't make any mistake about this. We need God's help to do this. Galatians 5:22-23, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. See, the Holy Spirit, if we are walking in the Spirit, if we are yielding to the Holy Spirit can give us that self-control that we need to overcome anger. Now, I want to say this one more time. You know, a lot of the time it's the words that come out of our mouth when we're angry. We say things we shouldn't say. And the world says, let it out. But the scripture says that you can set the world on fire with your words. I mean, you can just blow things up real quick with your words. James 1:26, if anyone among you thinks he's religious and doesn't bridle his tongue but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. So we allow the Holy Spirit to help us. And sometimes we just keep our mouth shut, right? I mean, the Holy Spirit can help you know when you just need to keep your mouth shut. I mean, sometimes one of the best things you can do when you're angry is just bite your tongue and don't say anything. But you see, we have to yield to the Holy Spirit. If you want to ignore the Holy Spirit, you can. Yield. We all know what a yield sign is. When you yield to the traffic that has the right of way. And so what you do is you pull up and you pause or you stop, whatever's necessary to yield. And you see, when you're angry, you need to yield to the Holy Spirit. You need to just stop for a second. You just need to pause and listen to Him and yield to Him, because He'll show you what you should do if you'll yield to Him. He'll help you get it under control. Fourth, if we're going to overcome anger, we got to forgive. We read it, Ephesians 4:32, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Whether it's an injustice, a hurt, a wrong, somebody has sinned against us, and you know what? The Bible requires us to forgive. Jesus taught us to pray this way, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Be quick to forgive. See, anytime you have unforgiveness, it's going to eat at you. It's going to keep stirring up that anger. And I know the world says, oh, well, you just need to talk about it. I don't know about you, but you know what? Whenever I try that and I start talking about it, I start getting angry again. Sometimes we just need to talk to God about it and turn it over to the Lord and forgive it. Put it in His hands so it doesn't eat at your soul anymore. And last, we overcome anger by trusting the Lord. Romans 12:17 through 19 says, repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. Now, when it says give place to wrath, it's not talking about your wrath. It's talking about God's. You don't avenge yourself, but instead you leave that to God, to His wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. You can trust the Lord to make things right. He is long-suffering, and He is merciful, and He does forgive. But I'm just telling you that you can trust Him. Jesus says in Luke chapter 18 that we should always pray because our Heavenly Father will avenge us speedily. And maybe speedily with the Lord is different than our speedily. Anybody else? Yeah, sometimes it takes a while. And sometimes we may not actually see it with our eyes. But we just need to trust the Lord that He's going to right the wrongs, that He's going to make things right. Carrying unforgiveness, a hurt, suffered wrong, carrying anger around. Listen, it is a burden that will rob you of your peace, your joy, and so many blessings. Turn it over to the Lord and get free. I want to close with the passage from Psalm 37, verse 7 through 11. It says, rest in the Lord. Well, that's a good word right there. You're trying to deal with anger? Man, turn it over to Him and rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for Him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret. It only causes harm. Quit doing this to yourself. Cease from anger. Forsake wrath. Do not fret. It only causes harm. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait on the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall be no more. Indeed, you will look carefully for his place, but it shall be no more. But the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. Don't give place to the devil. Be angry and sin not. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Realize the devil is always trying to get an advantage of you. And one of the key ways he does that is through your own anger. Don't allow it. Remember this. People are not your real enemy. I know. It sure seems like it sometimes. But we don't wrestle with flesh and blood. That's what the Bible says. No, our real fight is with the powers of darkness. And when you get angry, you need to remember that. Be alert. Be self-controlled. He's always working against you. Stand with me.